When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There was a period of time, I think I was about 13, 12 to 13, mm-hmm. where I sort of grew in height, mm-hmm. but nowhere else. So I was really, like, skinny. But then I started getting boobs and a bum, so it looked really out of proportion.
Yeah.
And I had braces, and my hair just wasn't cool. And it was, like, a time where I was like, I really want to feel like I'm a cool teen, but I don't feel like a cool teen.
Hello and welcome back. This week's guest is Zoe Sugg, the phenomenally successful blogger, vlogger, author, founder of Zoella Beauty, and my digital ambassador. In this episode, we talk about Zoe's life journey from young girl growing up in Laycock to gawky teenager who really didn't know what she wanted to do for a living, to working in interior designs and starting the blog that would bring her the success that she enjoys today. We talk a lot about the human side to being Zoella. Zoe's experienced a lot of anxiety, and she talks about the panic attacks that she struggled with and finding therapy incredibly helpful. And also general things like imposter syndrome when she was singing with Ed Sheeran, or struggling to get her camera out in public, and how sometimes she just finds that really awkward and really difficult. We, of course, also talk about products. Zoe talks about the holographic glitter that she used to use when she was younger, and hair mascara, which always used to go crusty, and then how finding hair straighteners made her feel a bit like Rachel Stevens, and how that was a great moment for her. And she, of course, details what she uses today and the products that she absolutely loves. Here's Zoe Sugg.
So I'm here with Zoe Sugg.
Hello.
Otherwise, aka Zoella, mm-hmm. Which is quite hard not to think in my head when I look at you, Zoella. And then, do you get that quite a lot?
I do, actually. I think there's quite a lot of people that don't realise it's not my name.
Yes. I can imagine in the street a lot of people go, Zoella.
Yeah.
Was there a pre-Zoella? Were you always called Zoella when you were younger?
No. So I don't actually know how Zoella came about. Like, it came about in secondary school. Mm-hmm. But before that, just Zoe.
Just Zoe. Okay, so baby Zoe.
Yeah.
Growing up in Laycock, Wiltshire, I did a Google of Laycock. It looks like my idea of fantasy England. Like, you know, like there's a little church and a little village. Was it like that?
Yes, it was. But at the time, you sort of don't realise the rest of the world isn't like that.
Right.
So you feel like this tiny, quaint village is like everywhere. Yeah. And everyone has the same.
Yeah.
But it's used quite a lot in like Harry Potter and like period dramas, because it is that old.
Right, that's exactly what it looked like to me. So tell me about what that was like. What was your childhood like? Was there an emphasis on beauty, or was that just a sort of side thing your mum did?
Yeah, there wasn't really any emphasis on beauty. I would always watch my mum kind of putting on her perfume and doing her hair, but I don't even think back then she was as into beauty. It was all very natural, and you know, a bit of mascara, the same little makeup bag with like the same really used products in it.
Yeah.
But I don't know, life in Laycock was very quiet, a lot of outdoor time. I really enjoyed my childhood.
Were you quite sporty?
No.
But you were outdoorsy?
Outdoorsy.
Right, okay.
I guess because it was kind of the only thing to do back then. No internet, no computers.
So you were growing up in the 90s, so that's slightly...
Yes.
For me, the 90s is kind of Spice Girls, you know... God, who else am I thinking?
S Club 7.
S Club 7, Britney.
Yeah.
Was that was for you when you were like six, seven,
yes.
Is that right? And was that quite a big deal for you, those people?
Oh, for sure.
Right.
Steps was like my absolute favourite band.
Yeah.
I loved them. And Hearsay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think back then, for me, it was like bands.
Right.
Pop groups.
And was there anyone in particular where you were like, oh, I just want to be them when I grow up, kind of thing?
I think Rachel Stevens.
Oh, I mean.
Everyone wanted to be Rachel Stevens with like the poker straight kind of Rachel
haircut. Yeah. And were you watching Friends as well?
Was I watching Friends back then?
I
discovered Friends when I was a bit older,
Fine, it is actually quite grown up. I haven't realised until I watched it recently. I was like, I don't know if I'd let my child watch that. So was there anything that you coveted then? Was there anything where you were like, if I could just get my hands on that, I'd like that in my life?
You know those big baggy combat trousers with all the tassels coming off them? Yeah. I always wanted a pair of those.
Yeah.
And I always wanted, you know, hair mascara.
Yeah.
That was a thing.
So, and that's gone now.
Yeah. No one uses that. Probably for a good reason.
Yeah. But your hair was dark.
Yeah, my hair was dark, so it never worked.
Yeah.
I got given a blue one and I tried really hard to make it. It just went crusty.
Yeah.
It didn't look good.
And it's not like, and also like, at what point would you put that on? It doesn't really serve much of a purpose.
Yeah, no, it wasn't the best.
Did you have in your head a job that you wanted to do when you grew up? Or did you have any inkling of what you'd be... what you would love to put your energies into?
I always find this question really hard to answer because I can't ever recall knowing what I wanted to do. My brother always had like this massive list of things that he really wanted to do, and they were all so varied, and I used to sit there and think, why don't I know what I want to do? As I got a bit older, the only thing that I thought I really wanted to do was be a midwife. And then I realised, you know, how much work goes into that and how serious of a job it is. And I thought, oh, I'm probably a bit squeamish for that, actually.
But you were quite nurturing then.
Very nurturing. And when I was younger than that, the only thing I ever really thought I wanted to do was to be a mum.
Okay, so very nurturing then.
Yeah.
Okay.
So something with helping people. Yeah.
What were you into at school? Was there anything that you were especially good at?
I loved art and photography.
Okay.
And then went on to do interior design.
But when you were a teen, and I always, all of my guests, when we get to teen years, go, ugh, bad things happened. Was there anything that for you was like, okay, like, I'm not cool with having spots, or I'm not, you know, was there anything that was difficult about being a teenager?
Yes. So, oh, little knocking on the wall, that's helpful.
And now Monty's scratching himself. Sorry.
For me, there was a period of time, I think I was about 12 to 13, mm-hmm. where I sort of grew in height, mm-hmm. but nowhere else. So I was really, like, skinny. But then I started getting boobs and a bum, so it looked really out of proportion.
Yeah.
And I had braces, and my hair just wasn't cool. And it was, like, a time where I was like, I really want to feel like I'm a cool teen, but I don't feel like a cool teen.
And also, that's around the time that you start to become aware of the way you look in a different way, because you're like, oh, like, you're looking up to people who look like women. So you're like,
yeah,
I'd like to look like a woman. And suddenly you're, like, lumbered with braces, and your body's not... Yeah, it's quite tricky. It's
it
a tricky time.
Yeah.
And did you... Was there anything that helped you through that? Or did you... Were you just quite... sanguine about it, and you just thought it will be fine in time?
Do you know what I actually think did happen that helped? I got straighteners. And I actually think that made a lot of difference.
So Rachel Stevens to the rescue.
Rachel Stevens to the rescue. I got straighteners. I think I went for like my first proper haircut at that age. You know, when you go to a salon and you have someone else do your hair for you. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, my hair can look cool. They've done it in a really cool way that I wouldn't have thought to do it before.
Yeah.
Got straighteners and started looking at makeup. And I think that's where I thought, okay, I can kind of make myself feel a bit better.
Yeah.
Yes, my ankles might be really skinny, and I might have braces, and I might feel really self-conscious about that, but there were things I could do to kind of balance that out a little bit.
So almost your creative side came in, and you were like, aha, I can do
this. I can fix this. Yeah.
Were there any products that you remember from that time that have like embedded in your mind?
There actually is. So I remember my first like going into Superdrug and thinking, I'm going to buy some makeup, because I don't think my mum ever restricted me from wearing makeup, but I definitely wasn't as interested in it at a young age, whereas I think now people are interested in it a lot younger than they were back then. So I think when I started asking questions about it and I got like some Christmas money or something, I thought, I'm gonna go and actually buy something.
Yeah.
And I bought a Barry M Dazzle Dust, and that was like the first thing.
Do you
I
remember
ever
the colour?
Yeah, it was like a glitter, just like a holographic glitter.
Right, okay.
So couldn't really see it on your eyes.
No.
It was really chunky.
Yeah. Did you put it all over your eyes?
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing. You get the products. Because I might buy a Barry M glitter now, but I would know how to use it now. But when you're younger, you just kind of go, oh, I'll put it everywhere. And it's a bit...
I went through a phase in my teenage years where I would put green Barry M Dazzle Dust just under my eye.
Lovely.
Not on top, just under. Yeah. And that was when I was like 15. Yeah. So I don't really have an excuse
for it. You went through all the stages.
Yeah, exactly.
And was the internet a big part of your life then?
I think it only really started becoming a part of my life when I was about 14, 15.
Were you and your friends communicating via, I'm thinking MSN, was it?
Oh, it was MSN Messenger, okay, yeah. MSN or Messenger. AOL Chat.
AOL Chat, yes, another classic place. On the internet. And of course, Facebook wouldn't have been around quite then, would
no,
it? It was
not
just
quite.
Before. So it was before.
And there was MySpace before Facebook.
Right, and were you on MySpace?
Yes.
And did you enjoy it?
I actually loved MySpace.
Okay, so you took to it like a duck to water. You were like, this is great. Yeah.
I learned how to HTML code.
Did
so
you?
Yeah.
Oh, so you weren't just a casual user. You were like a...
Proper got into it.
You were like an internet boff.
Yeah. I think from day one of social media, I was like, I'm so into this.
Yeah.
This is such a cool concept.
You have mentioned having your first panic attack when you were around 14. Can you talk through what that felt like briefly and also what your response to that was?
Yeah, so I think I was at a house party, quite young, 14, probably shouldn't have been there. It's probably why I had a panic attack. And I didn't drink, but everyone around me was getting very drunk and it really made me feel trapped because I was at this house in the middle of nowhere and I just thought, I can't get home. And I had a panic attack, but at the time I didn't know it was a panic attack.
Right.
And I called my dad at like 3 a.m. and I was like, please can you come and get me? I don't know what's wrong with me. I just can't relax. Like I don't feel safe.
Right.
Like I feel like I need to get home. And he came and got me, bless him. And then from there, whenever there was like a social gathering or I was going to someone's house, I would kind of attach those same feelings and think, the same weird thing is going to happen. But it wasn't until I was about 18 that I realised it was actually anxiety.
Right.
I just thought it would, like, everyone had it. I just thought it was kind of a normal experience. But no.
I think that's quite common when you're young because you don't have the language or the tools and no one's told you. So you kind of go, oh yes, this is my experience. This is weird. I'm weird about this. But you don't quite know why. And it's that makes it more scary and alien.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You then went to work in an interiors company.
Yes.
So were you thinking at this point, I'm into this, I'll probably be happy doing something that's creative and in this vein?
Yeah, I think so. And I did a college course alongside it. So I was kind of like, I wanted to learn more about the interior design industry and kind of get more rooted in that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also doing my blog alongside that.
Okay.
So it was, I don't know, I did really love it at the time.
Yeah.
But it was still very early days, so I didn't feel like I could be as expressive in, like, my creative way.
Do you remember what interiors appealed to you at the time?
I think it was kind of putting together kind of different textures, different colours. Like when someone would come in and go, I need to have my dining room done. That was like the dream.
Right.
Because it was like, oh wow, like I can help with kind of putting together the samples for the sofa and all these different aspects that come together. And then when you do it, it's very rewarding because it's all there in front of you and you know that someone's really happy with it.
Yeah.
But obviously back then I was kind of more assisting. I was never in charge of someone's entire dining room.
Yeah. So you weren't the person who could go in and be like, I want it like this.
No, I wasn't quite a Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen.
No.
At that point.
More's a pity. Yeah. Do you remember what you kind of looked like and what your life was like? Like, were you still panicking? Was that quite stressful? And kind of just a day-to-day version of you?
Yeah, it was kind of a weird point of my life because lots of my friends went off to uni.
Right.
I didn't go to uni because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I always had this thing of, I know what I'm good at and I know what I enjoy, but I don't know where I can put those skills into a career.
Right.
Especially when, kind of back then, you had kind of a careers lesson, but that was about it, and no one really went to those lessons.
And also, it's very like, do you want to be a doctor, a journalist,
a nurse,
an astronaut?
Exactly. And when you're very creative and you like art, you have people going, well, you can't make a living from that. Like, how are you going to do that? Or you like fashion, well, you're going to design because you know you can be a fashion designer, but it wasn't very broad.
Yeah.
Like the way in which you can learn about the careers was a lot more difficult. So I think around that time, I just thought, well, I don't really know what I want to do. And I applied for uni, went to a couple of the interviews and decided it just wasn't for me. And then started interior design. And I did enjoy it, but at the same time, I did feel a little bit like, is this what I'm going to be doing forever? I don't really know.
Do you remember anything from your makeup routine or hair routine? And what can you just paint a
picture? Oh, when I was like 18?
Yeah.
I think I did the pretty much the same makeup I do now. So I've got quite into like eyeshadow.
Okay.
Because I've been watching YouTube tutorials.
Right.
So I was like learning how to blend and like cut the crease and all those things.
Yeah.
And I think I was just wearing Bare Essentials, Bare Minerals foundation, which I still wear now. I love it.
Buffed in. And were you good at buffing it in? Had you learned that?
Yeah, because they had these videos on QVC where they showed you that you would like swirl, buff, tap.
Yeah.
And then like go in, and me and my mum both sat and watched them and ordered it all.
QVC's addictive.
It is very addictive.
It's very addictive.
You actually do just want to buy everything they're talking about.
I frequently bought things I didn't need at all when I watch QVC. It's very addictive. Tell me about the blog then. So when you started, you're obviously, I mean, it totally makes sense given what you said, that you would start a blog and that that would be what you did. Was there a structure in your head of what you wanted to do, or were you just thinking, I'm just going to talk about the things that come into my life?
So originally I'd seen a few blogs and I thought that's such a good idea, and they were mostly beauty. Back then blogging was very beauty heavy.
Right.
So it would be kind of things you picked up in Boots or things you got given for a birthday.
Right.
And like Lush hauls, I remember, I did a couple of those.
Yeah.
So it was mainly the beauty, but I would always throw in a bit of like life. Like I think my first blog post was the fact that I'd gone up to Leeds to visit my boyfriend and we went to a cute cafe and I kind of did a mini review of the cafe.
Okay.
And then I kind of just mixed it all up a bit.
And then were you thinking that you could do that for a living, or was that just not?
Oh no.
Not at all. Okay.
No. Back then, people just did it for fun.
Right.
And even to have someone reading it was like, oh my God, there's someone reading. Like,
did
what
you
have
analytics from the beginning?
No, I didn't. I wish I did.
Yeah.
That would have been so interesting.
Yeah. But maybe disheartening if it wasn't instantly.
I know.
Yeah.
But for me, it was more that kind of space to just talk about what I wanted to talk about.
Right.
And
felt
really like liberating.
And were you doing videos on YouTube from the off?
No. So I started my blog, and then I think a couple of months into the blog, when I started getting a few readers, I kind of hinted at like, should I do a video so that you guys can like see what I sound like and see how I move and see me talking as opposed to just written text. And I think there was probably like 50 people that were like, yeah, please do a video.
50 is quite a lot.
Yeah.
So it was quite successful from very early on.
Yeah. I think as well, back then, there was a lot of kind of like sharing the love and like there was such a close community of other people all wanting their stuff to be read. So it was very like everyone would share everything. And it was so nice.
Like a nice time.
Well,
I think it's still nice, but you know, issues now.
Yeah,
it's a bit bigger. Yeah. So with talking on camera, this is something that I have this belief that people either take to it, maybe they're a bit shy, but they either take to it or they just go, I seize up, I can't bear it. You seem very comfortable in front of the camera, but was that instant?
Oh no.
Okay.
Even now, I've been doing this nearly 10 years.
Yeah.
Even now, I hate getting my camera out walking down the street.
Yeah.
Because I'm okay if there's someone else with me. I'm like, oh, I can get my camera out because I've got someone as backup. It doesn't look so weird. But if I'm on my own, I'm like, I can't pull my camera out now.
Also, there is this thing where you don't want to be one of those people. Like, not like, do you know what I mean? Like, and I know that, like, it's not, but you don't want someone to think that you're recording your life and not living it. And there is this thing where people talk about that. And I think that people feel crucially aware now that when you're photographing your dinner, you want to do it really quickly because otherwise it's like
that's
you're not
so
at the
true.
Dinner.
That's so true. And because so many other people do it, it's like you catch someone else's eye, you're taking a picture of their dinner while you're taking a picture of yours, and you're just like, oh, Instagram.
Yeah, we're guilty. Very guilty.
Yeah, we're all guilty.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tell me about when your blog took off. When did it go from being something you did on the side and you were interior design to being like a real thing?
I think it kind of started with when beauty brands sort of got hold of the fact that normal people talking about beauty mm-hmm. was such a good platform for them to kind of join in on.
Right.
I think that's where I thought, oh, this is exciting. Like, yeah. Brands are kind of getting it, and there's loads of people doing it, and lots of bloggers would then be invited to like new launches mm. and there would be lots of like events. And
do you remember the first event you went to, or some of the
yeah
first?
Which was the first one? I think it was a Barry M event, actually, which okay. is so ironic because it was the
first makeup item.
Yeah, exactly. It all just slot into place.
Yeah.
And I remember getting the train up to London by myself,
yeah.
meeting all these people I'd never met before. It was all very like out of my comfort zone.
You have said, I'm going to quote you at you, which is always a strange thing to do. I'm going to say, you said, a lot of people have the assumption that because someone is able to sit here in front of the camera and speak for 10 to 20 minutes and broadcast in front of hundreds and thousands, potentially millions of people across the internet, that it must mean they're 100% confident, have absolutely no self-esteem issues, have no real life problems, are always happy, are always jolly. That is so wrong. When I heard you say that, and it was in one of your videos about anxiety, mm-hmm. I thought that's incredibly astute and also really bold of you to say. Mm-hmm. Can you explain a bit more about the difficulty of being so this public figure now, but then at the same time, you're a human and you're still someone who has nerves and has sensitivities. So how does that play out for you?
It's actually very difficult to juggle because yeah. on one hand, you're like, you know, this is my career and I love it. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of hide behind the Zoella kind of bubble.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's so many people there that everyone will have their judgment of what they choose to take. And that is quite difficult.
Yeah.
Because some people get it wrong, or some people make assumptions that are based on nothing.
Yeah.
And you just kind of have to deal with it. And that takes a long time. And sometimes you don't deal with it at all. Because you are a normal human being.
But that's exactly it. On a very small scale, someone yeah. says to you at a party, like, or, you know, you hear that someone said, oh, I thought they were a bit offhand or whatever. And you're like, no, I must go and find that person and tell them. So
yeah.
on a bigger scale, it's a lot to take.
Yes,
and a lot to kind of absorb. And also, I suppose that when you're out and about, you are recognised. And sometimes I would assume that that's incredible and lovely. And of course, it's great.
Yeah.
But also, it comes with challenges.
Yeah, and I think with my anxiety, I started working with a therapist about 3 years ago.
Right.
And as my career grew, the anxiety kind of grew with it because I was faced with all these things that I had never had to deal with before, let alone deal with as an anxious person.
Yeah.
So that's been a good...
do you have any coping mechanisms, or what helped you?
I would honestly say my therapist is probably the biggest help. Right. Like, I always try and encourage someone to speak to somebody about mm-hmm. how they feel, because if I'd have done that a bit sooner... So I started speaking to her when I was 24.
Would you mind saying what kind of therapy is? Is it chatting, or is it cognitive behavioural?
It's just chatting.
Okay.
She has done a bit of hypnotherapy before, mm-hmm. but I find that so strange. Mm-hmm. Like, my blood pressure literally drops. It's the craziest thing.
Do you find it hard to believe it's going to happen? Or
I'm like, nah, because I'm quite like, I don't know.
I don't really fully
believe that stuff. I'm like, you'll never be able to get me into that state.
Yeah. And you're kind of, and also when they're saying things like, go with it, you're a bit like, I am, but also I'm resisting it somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's like,
trying to stay conscious of the fact that it's happening. But for me, it was kind of, do I want to like rip the head off this weed and try and keep going?
Yeah.
Or do I want to actually pull out the roots?
Yeah.
And that's why I decided that I was just going to put in as much effort as I could into working on it every week for 3 years.
Yeah. That's another great metaphor, actually, for anxiety, because you can just take the head off.
You
it
can
with,
take yeah, the, keep yeah. taking the head off.
Yeah, but you need to go and deal with it.
Yeah. And I think that's the scary bit for a lot of people, because... Mm. I mean, when I first started having panic attacks, I had no idea why.
Yeah.
And that's the bit you have to try and sort out, otherwise you're going to carry on doing it.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of people that can be really scary. And also just even the word therapy can be scary for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And obviously there's so many different types, and there's so many different ways you can try and kind of battle with your mental health.
Yeah.
But I think definitely talking about it is the biggest thing.
And that's very in line, your mind ambassador, Anna. It's very in line with what you're doing there too, and encouraging people to open up and kind of make it part of the popular conversation again.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find that helped straight away, or was it like a very long process?
Oh no, long process.
Okay.
Long process. Mm. I think When I first went to a doctor and I was like, I think I'm having anxiety attacks. I'm not too sure. The doctor really was very unhelpful, and that really put me off.
Because, you said that in your video, yeah.
Yeah, because I thought I had imagined it. I thought, oh, I've really over-exaggerated this. They didn't understand what I was saying. And I know, having spoken to a lot of people and kind of seen their comments, that that happens quite a lot, where you kind of give up after the first hurdle, especially if it doesn't feel like it went very well. And I think my biggest thing to people is just keep going, because I stopped and I wish I'd carried on. Like, that first encounter with somebody really put me off.
But quite brave to go for the first time as well. Exactly. That's quite a hard thing to do.
Exactly. But you just have to find that person that works like with you.
I mean, you're still working throughout this whole time enormously successfully. Were there any beauty or well-being rituals that helped you?
I think giving myself like a day of like no work, not thinking of anything, no plans, no meeting anybody, but having a day in the house where you can just binge watch Netflix, read a book, sit in the bath. I did that a lot, and I discovered bath salts a lot.
When
I started doing that, I was like, oh, I love these.
Yeah, because in your beauty range, there's a lot of bath salts. I think you like a bath, clearly.
I think bath time for me, if I've had a really busy day, the one thing I'm really excited to do, which I think is in place of a lot of people saying, I can't wait to go home and have a glass of wine, for me, it's get in the bath.
Yes, I'm with you. What do you do in the bath? Do you read?
Sometimes.
Okay.
So if I have like a weekend daytime bath, I'll go in with a book.
Oh, you're really a bath fan, because you have specific baths.
Weekend
daytime bath, you will go in with a book.
If it's in the evening, I just kind of get in and scroll through my phone a bit, or put something on my laptop.
It's quite dangerous though, having a
phone. To be fair.
Are you quite good at balancing it on something?
Yeah, I've got one of those bath...
Oh, the things that
bath
goes over
caddy.
The bath. Right, okay.
Yeah, sit in that.
And do you have a preference between bath salts, bath oils, bath foam, or do you mix it up?
I really like a bath milk powder. We brought one out in the Christmas range, and it's so nice on your skin. It just feels like you're bathing in like silk.
And then when you get out, do you still moisturize if you've used a bath?
No.
Okay, so you can get away with that step. That's quite nice.
My least favorite step. Moisturizing. I hate it. My mum loves it. She always goes on at me like, don't forget to moisturize.
But you're good at doing your... Are you someone who's good at doing your face?
Yeah, neck up.
Right.
I'm great. But...
Talk me through your skincare routine quickly, actually. So you do you have any skin issues?
I did. So I had adult acne from the age of about 25 to 27.
Okay.
And then I went to see a dermatologist, and I was put on limacyclin, which is the antibiotic. And from there, I completely cut my skincare routine down. I was using like so many different products. And obviously, I get sent so many for reviews, and you know, I'm constantly faced with all these amazing new skincare brands. But I was just kind of throwing it all on, and that was not helping.
It's very hard as well. I mean, Similarly, as a journalist, I tried loads of products, and it's very hard to say to people, actually, I'm so sorry, but it's damaging your skin, because you can't use loads of things.
Yeah, you can't just bring something random into a skincare routine, because it does upset your skin a lot of the time. So I stripped it back, and I now use Lizelle Cleansing Polish and a La Roche-Posay Effaclar Duo.
Yes.
Love that stuff.
Great if you get spots.
And a Tata Harper Reparative Moisturiser.
Okay. Is that in a jar, or is that the pumpy one?
It's a pumpy one.
Right, okay, fine. Yeah.
And that's literally all I use.
Yeah, your skin looks in great condition now.
Thank you.
So now you don't have the adult acne anymore. Do you know what brought it on?
I have no idea.
I'm curious.
Okay. I know.
Yeah.
But apparently it's a lot more common than we think it is.
Did your diet change at all? So there's nothing like dairy or whatever. I
went through all those things with the dermatologist, and she was like, sometimes it could just be that your lifestyle has like picked up speed.
Your hormones change. Speaking of wellness and diet and health and stuff, are you quite good at eating well and exercising? Is that something you're on top of?
No.
No, okay, fine.
Not really. Okay. I'm one of those people that goes for a pizza if I feel like a pizza.
Yeah.
I don't worry too much about it. I probably should care a bit more than I do, though.
But you look healthy, so I would assume that you know.
I look it, but I don't know if I am inside.
But you're probably. Are you quite a busy person? You're busy.
Yeah, I'm quite a busy person.
So you're an active person. You're just not someone who goes to the gym and doesn't.
My mum actually started going to the gym when she was like. I could get this wrong. If she's listening to this, she could be like, no, that's completely wrong. I always went to the gym. But I remember her starting to like run marathons and things when I was probably about 10. So okay. She must have been about 30.
Oh, so she suddenly had a moment.
Yeah, so yeah. She started like loving fitness a bit later on. So in my head, I'm like, oh, I've still got time.
I'll get to it.
Yeah.
But fitness is one of those things where like, I think you have to get into something. Like suddenly yeah. It will just switch. Millie McIntosh, who came on the show, was like, I couldn't find my thing. And I tried and I went to loads of classes. And suddenly I was like, I love weights. I love
it. Oh, really? Yeah, see, suddenly. I think I've not found my thing.
Yeah, it's hard to find your thing. You've got to find something that works for you.
I love the idea of running because I love being outside and I love going on walks. But I'm rubbish at running.
I love the idea of running too. And particularly, I get panicky as well. And in my head, I'm like, oh, I'd run off my panic and it would be great. And then I run to like a lamppost and I'm like, I'm dying.
And your heart's like, I'm going to panic.
I feel more panicked. I was like, this is awful. Are you a good cook? Do you cook?
I am not the best cook, but I love baking.
I was going to say, because you bake a lot.
Yeah,
right? Okay,
I bake.
Fine.
Baking over cooking
right.
for me.
But you can cook, didn't you?
Yeah.
So you're not like a terrible cook.
No.
Okay, just going back to panic. Just when you started, I just wanted to ask, when you had a huge following when you were talking about that, what is it that made you think, I'm just going to open this up and talk about this?
I think because at the time, I really wished that there was someone I could have watched talking about it.
Right.
Someone kind of just normal and who just lives a kind of everyday life, same age as me, doing the same things. And I thought that that would be really comforting.
Yeah.
So in my head, I thought, if I can talk about this, maybe it will be comforting and reassuring and a bit eye-opening for other people watching.
Yeah.
And obviously it was never an intention, you know, I hope I get to a certain amount of subscribers so I can kind of talk about this. But it just felt like it was the right time. But also, as people were learning to understand the sort of person I was, it would kind of crop up in a few things. Like, if I ever went to, like, a meet and greet, I would be so nervous. So I was quite conscious of the fact other people were probably picking up on it at the same time. So I just felt like it would be a really nice thing for me to kind of just get that off my chest and be like, you all think I have this perfect life and that, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong. But actually, on a lot of days, I'm really struggling with these things. And everyone was kind of like, oh, like, of course you're normal. And that's exactly how I feel. And
that perception that people have a perfect life because their career is going well, because it's really frustrating. And so I think the internet is finally swerving now slightly to represent things that are more difficult and more commonplace. And I think everyone's a human, and that's something that's quite easy to forget. The thread that I'm picking up here is that you have a very nurturing side to you. You're very like, you want to help, and you're quite open to that. So again, with Mind, and you're now in that role. What does that mean to you? Is it just something you're doing because you think, I'm just going to try to reach as many people as possible?
Yeah, definitely. And even in the last, like, I don't know, 5 years, I think the more people speaking out about it who do have that following, the more difference it's making. And I do feel like it is kind of shifting in that whole kind of don't talk about your problems.
Yeah.
I think the internet has allowed people to do that, but at the same time, to encourage others to do it, and also for people to feel less like it's just them. There's kind of this whole world of other people that can join in on a conversation like that and be like, oh, I have it too. And like, if that had been around when I was 14 and I had that first panic attack, I would have felt so much better.
And I would imagine that doing that work and being someone who helps people almost steals you when someone's rude or you get trolling and stuff. You're like, actually, what I'm doing is this. So it's a little bit...
Yeah, it's like you kind of have to just bat it out of the way. You're like, I'm on my journey. Yeah. I'm heading there. Yeah. You're in my way.
I'm doing good stuff. Don't... Don't come in, which is absolutely right. Sorry, I get very frustrated with the kind of meanness on the internet. I think it's really annoying. Let's talk about... So now you're like this... powerhouse. I was looking at the stuff you've done. I was like, I cannot believe that you've done all of this. Like, you know, it's extraordinary.
Half the time.
Okay, so your novelist, your book, Girl Online, had the highest first week sales for a debut author since 1998.
I know, isn't that weird?
It's mental.
I know.
It's insane. Like, do you have pinch me moments or pinch yourself moments?
Yeah, I do. Because sometimes it feels like people, like, it feels like they're talking about someone that isn't me, and I'm kind of like joining in the conversation, like, that's cool. And I'm like, oh, wait, that was me.
I did it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Can I ask you, a work day at home, mm-hmm. when you're like blogging and working, are you quite structured?
Sometimes. If I have a lot that I have to get done and mm-hmm. I've got deadlines, then I do try and structure my day. Mm-hmm. I love a to-do list. I love like making a list, ticking it off, feeling very accomplished.
Ticking it off is the good bit.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if I am feeling more creative on a certain project that I'm working on, even though I've got more time to be working on that project, I will go and do it. Because right. especially when you're writing,
yeah.
because you can set yourself days where you're like, right, I'm going to write today.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always mean that you've got your writing head on. Mm-hmm. So I do have to be a bit like lenient, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're a bit more laid back.
Yeah, so you know what you're doing over a period of time. Yeah. Like you'll kind of do what appeals. That's yeah. a very, but again, that's the creative. It's very hard to
yeah,
pin
you
that
can't
down.
Force it.
So tell me about your products and your lifestyle products, and how did it come about, and what made you think I want to do this?
I've always loved beauty and bath time, especially.
Yes.
So for me, and also kind of with the whole giving yourself that day to relax, and the internet was becoming such a thing, and everyone was on their phones, everyone had their heads down. It can kind of get very consuming.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I would just love to do a range that meant you were just taking time out for yourself, mm-hmm. bit of me time, bath time, mm-hmm. Because I knew that for me, that's what I absolutely love doing.
Yeah.
So to start working on the products was so much fun.
Yeah.
And to know that they're there for other people to do that is great.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a favourite product or favourite products?
Mm.
Let's say three max.
So I absolutely love the planner, which okay. we've done in Boots. It's like a planner / diary, because I also think adding things like, what have I achieved this week? What yeah. was my mood like this week? I think they're so interesting to go back and look at.
Oh, for sure.
Because sometimes yeah. you think, oh, I've had such a successful week. Mm. But then if you go back and actually look at your mood, you'd be like, oh.
Do you keep a diary offline?
No.
Okay.
I actually don't. I guess my videos are kind of like...
So that you're documenting a lot.
Yeah.
Fine. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Another
but yeah, product, so you like the planner.
The hot chocolate candle.
Yes.
Okay. Love that. And then from the beauty range, the Wish Upon a Spa boxer, I think, is my favourite.
What's in the Wish Upon a Spa?
So you've got a little bow headband.
Yeah.
So you know when you want to do a face mask, where you want to cleanse your face, but you don't want to get your hair wet?
Yes, always.
Perfect for that. And then
yeah.
you've got the bath milk powder, yeah. a shower gel, body moisturiser. Mm-hmm. It's like full of all
the
best bits.
Do you use
the
body moisturiser?
I actually do.
Oh, good.
I've got it next to my bed.
Oh, do you? Okay,
yeah.
fine. You're not naughty. Do your body moisturising. And what have there been any challenges with that? Like, what was the hardest bit where you thought, I just didn't anticipate that this was going to be difficult?
I think one of the things that I find quite hard is when you get your heart set on something mm-hmm. and it gets so far, because obviously there's a lot of people involved in it. There's
yeah.
the testing, the formulation testing, the scent testing. So much testing goes into every single product. And also, if you're trying to create a completely new formulation yeah. from scratch, it's a really long process. So you can get really attached to something, and then it just doesn't work.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to just let it go.
Yeah.
It goes off to the little, like, product graveyard, and it's really sad. And then
yeah,
you just have
imagine.
To think, oh, that would have been great.
Tell me now about your beauty, wellness, skin, hair, beauty, routine. I know that you'll be testing loads of things. That's part of your job.
Mm-hmm.
But if you narrowed it down, you had a suitcase and you had to go to a hotel in London for 2 days, what would you absolutely have to take? And what would you do to?
So I would obviously take my skincare.
Yes.
Maybe a little sheet mask.
Okay. Do you have a favourite sheet mask?
Which one's my favourite? I really love the Korean ones.
Okay.
All the like...
Hydrating.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hydrating kind of Korean style face.
They have to be biocellulose, or they're like... But it's nice when they stick on properly.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love
yeah.
it. What else would I take? Some cozy socks.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really beauty, but I feel like it's nice. Cozy.
Yeah.
You like dry them? Shampoo.
Okay. Do you have a favourite?
Amika is a great range.
Never heard of them.
It's so good. I
okay.
love their stuff.
Right.
Or Orbe.
Yeah, dry texturising or dry shampoo?
Dry texturising.
The best.
It's so good. Especially
yeah.
with, like, now I've got shorter hair.
Yeah.
The texturising spray, like, is my...
Do you tong it?
Yeah, I tonged it today.
Yeah.
It just takes so long.
I mean, also, you've got quite a lot of hair.
It's so thick.
Yeah, you've got loads of it.
I
yeah.
do, like, 7 layers
yeah,
all over
yeah,
my
yeah,
head.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, I'm like, oh, why did I decide to do this? I can't go back.
And you can't stop. Do you have a favourite tong?
Which is the one I use? It's an American brand called Noumi.
Okay.
and it's the only tong that keeps my hair actually wavy. Because it's so thick.
It will drop, yeah.
It's very hot though, so it's probably...
When did you cut your hair? I should probably know that, but you had it really long for ages, didn't you?
Yeah, I had it really long, and then in 2015 I got it cut to like just below shoulder, and then I've gradually gone shorter and shorter.
Interesting. Okay, do you like it more?
Yes, I do. Doesn't take less time to style though.
No, that's a misconception.
And I thought it would, but it doesn't.
But also, when you get out of the shower and you've got long wet hair, it takes ages to dry.
The drying is much better.
Yeah, that's one thing. But you still have to style it. People always think with short hair you don't, and it's like, nah, it takes a long time.
Yeah, you do.
Do you get a lot of recommendations from your followers?
Yes, actually. Mm. In fact, someone photoshopped me with like really white blonde hair, short, like really short.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I kind of like that.
Also, what dedication.
I know. It looks really good. Yeah. So I actually sent it to my hairdresser. I was like, do you think we could do this? Yeah. She was like, yeah, right. And that's when I went really short.
Oh, really?
Because of a fan edit of my hair.
Yeah. That's so handy. I find it quite useful. What do you think I should do, internet? Yeah. Are you ever tempted to go, what makeup should I wear today? Or what should I... Do you do that?
I actually don't, you know. Maybe I should see what they say.
You think?
They could go off the rails and suggest something really crazy.
But now you've got the polls, you can control
that's
it.
That's very true.
Yes or no. That's a very helpful button. okay, so Christmas is coming up.
Yay.
Are you organised?
Usually, I am quite organised. Maybe I am. I don't know. In my head, I think I'd like to be more organised.
Tell me when you get the Christmas tree.
So I've already done that.
What? Okay, you're super organised. We're recording this at the end of November.
Yeah, I literally put up my Christmas trees yesterday.
Okay.
I have quite a few.
Okay.
Yeah, and I
think... So you're a Christmas person.
Yeah, I love Christmas.
Yeah.
But this year, for presents, I've not even thought about it.
I mean, it's early.
I know.
So early. When you put up your Christmas tree, do you put a Christmas film on or Christmas music on?
Music.
What Christmas music do you like? What's your favourite Christmas song? Let's go with that.
My favourite one is Shakin' Stevens' Merry Christmas, Everybody.
A classic.
Everyone, yeah.
Yeah, fine. A good classic.
Yeah, I do love that.
But you like all the classic ones?
I do, yeah.
Because sometimes the re-recorded versions, you're a bit like...
No, they're not the same.
But you did Band-Aid.
Oh, yeah, I did.
But Band-Aid's always updated. That's allowed to be updated. That's allowed. You can't update Merry Christmas, Everybody. That doesn't work.
No.
But Band-Aid, yeah. How was that? Did you find it fun?
That was... It's so funny, because whenever anyone asks me this...
Yeah.
And I don't mean this in like... a bad way, but it was the most out of place I've ever felt.
Really?
Because I was just surrounded by all these amazingly talented singers, and I'm like, yeah, I'm just the vlogger. I actually was asked to be here, I promise.
Yeah, and that's, imposter syndrome.
It was massively, oh my god, that was like my first feeling of like, this is weird.
Yeah. Did you have to record in the room with them all?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I shared headphones with Ed Sheeran.
Oh.
And the whole time I just kept thinking, oh, he's gonna hear me singing, and it's Ed Sheeran.
But you sound good on it. Yeah. I was listening to it and I was like, it sounds fine.
At least you can't hear like that one like out of key vlogger.
You weren't out of key. Yeah. It all works as a harmony as a whole. Yeah, God, that must have been terrifying.
What's
on your Christmas list? Oh, and sorry, favourite Christmas film before we go into what's on your Christmas list.
Elf.
Elf, interesting. What about 80s ones? Do you have a favourite like from when you were younger or like 90s? You know, like Home Alone.
Home Alone. Home Alone or Elf. I actually think I like Home Alone 2 more than Home Alone.
Home Alone 2 is a superior film by
Isn't
far.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But so many people disagree with me.
Do they?
Yeah.
No, New York and all of that when he goes to the tree.
Yeah. Oh. I do say that.
Every time I go to America, I have to go, like, if I'm in New York and it's around Christmas time, I'm like, gotta go and see that tree and pretend to be Kevin McAllister. It's a big moment. I love it. So what's on your Christmas list? Is there anything in particular that you're after this year?
Not particularly. I'm quite a sentimental person, so I like when someone's put a bit more thought into a gift. I don't know, if Alfie wanted to get a little kind of weekend away.
Nice.
I think I prefer like something to do.
Right.
Now I'm getting a bit older and I just feel like there's nothing I really want.
It's funny, there's that shift where you're like, when I was younger it used to be like, can you get me a bath oil? And I'm like, well, I buy my bath oil.
So,
like, it's nice to get, but like it is nice to spend time with someone, have someone think about you and put their love into the present.
Exactly.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, you have been a fantastic guest. Thank you so much for coming on it.
So that was Zoe Sugg. I hope you enjoyed the episode and that you maybe found it to be a little insight into what it must be like to be a human at the core of this huge phenomenon. And I found Zoe to be just so endearing and warm and bubbly and basically left wanting to be her friend. So I really understand why she has this legion of fans and have very much joined their ranks. Please do rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. And I will, of course, see you next week with a brand new guest. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.